Today's shiur is in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin with the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ha'isa sukasai b'roish ha'gola. If someone makes a sukkah at the top of a wagon, oy b'roish ha'svina, or they make the sukkah on the top of a boat, the halacha is k'shera. As Rashi tells us, the chiddush of the Mishnah that the sukkah in these cases are k'shera is as follows, that an agola, although it's metaltal, although it is mobile, still it is considered an adequate sukkah. As we will see in the Gemara, this Tana holds that a sukkah requires diras arai, and therefore, even if it is mobile, and one would not consider that a permanent structure, yet that is adequate for the kashrus of a sukkah. Huadin, the same halacha applies to the top of a boat, as Rashi says that although it's in a very high place on the boat and there is a large waves and winds in the ocean, and there are no mountains that form a barrier against those winds, and it is very prevalent that the wind should come and blow over, uproot the sukkah, yet I say that it is considered k'shera because of the halacha that a sukkah only requires a diras arai. And we will see that in the Gemara there is a machlokas whether this sukkah is kosher or not. Continues the Mishnah, Va'oilun la b'yantiv, and not only is a sukkah b'roish ha'gola and b'roish ha'svina k'shera, but one is even allowed to go up on it on yantiv. Rashi points out that really there is no chiddush in this, then why would one not be allowed to go up on a sukkah that's in a wagon or a svina? And the reason the Mishnah says it is only to be symmetrical, because in the next cases of the Mishnah, the Tana will tell us that ein oilun lo b'yantiv. So to make it symmetrical, we do the ratio that oilun lo b'yantiv. Continues the Mishnah, u'b'roisha ilan, at the top of a tree, if someone lives in a tree, and as Rashi says, he makes mechitzas there and he puts schach on top, oy al gabi gomel, or he makes a sukkah on the back of a camel, k'shera, the sukkah is kosher. However, here the halacha is ve'ein oilun lo b'yantiv. One is not allowed to go up on the sukkah b'roisha ilon or al gabi gomel on yantiv. As Rashi brings down, there's a gzeirah midrabbanan. We have the Gemara in Beya, which tells us this, that ein oilun b'ilon ve'ein mishtamshim boy, that one cannot go up on a tree on Shabbos or yantiv. And also one cannot lean on a tree or use it in any way, because maybe the person will come to rip off a piece of the tree. And huwa din, although Rashi doesn't mention it here, the same applies to riding on a behema or using a behema in any way on Shabbos or Yontif, because again, the Rabbanu were geizer, that maybe the person would come to rip off a branch of a tree, use it as a whip to spur on the animal to ride better, and therefore it is usur to be mishtamish with both an elon and an animal on Shabbos or Yontif. Why is the halach in fact that the sukkah is kshera? Rashi says because it could be used on Chol HaMoed, where these isurim would not apply of using a tree on Chol HaMoed. Or Rashi says that even if a person were to be over the isur, the gzeirah midrabbanan, and use a tree or go on an animal on Shabbos or Yontif, but once he did it, b'diyeved, once he did it, the sukkah would remain kshera. He would be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. We'll see a machlokas about this in the Gemara. But our Tana holds that although there's an issur d'rabbanan that he was over, he will still be yotzei the mitzvah d'raisa of sukkah. Agavurchad, there's a story that I heard, and I believe I saw it written as well, and if anyone can tell me where I may have seen it written in a book, I would appreciate you letting me know. My email address is grossman@ou.org. There's a story with a bocher in Yeshivas Or Sameach in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, who was a little shaky in his Yiddishkeit, and when he learned the Gemaras in Bava Kama of Shor Shenagach Zapora, what do I have to learn these things? Where is it relevant to today's age? And when he got to this Mishnah right over here of a Suk Al Gabe Gomel, he said, that's it. This is not for me. I'm out of here. And he hailed a taxi. He got his luggage together. He's leaving Yeshivas Or Sameach. He's about to leave, and the taxi is waiting. And suddenly he hears someone call out, Yankel, wait a second. You have some mail. You know, he takes the mail. And what does he see? There's a picture postcard from a relative who was sending him a postcard. He was visiting India. And lo and behold, what does he see on the picture, on this postcard? He sees someone riding an elephant, and as is the custom in India, they have on top of the elephant where the person is sitting, there is a structure, it looks like a sukkah, and that is how the person is riding the elephant. When this bacher saw that picture, he thought to himself, there is a possibility, even in our times, of having a sukkah on top of an animal. He's staying in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. He became a big masmid, a Talmud Chacham, and Klal Yisrael had much nachas from him. And of course, this is a story of tremendous Hashgacha Pratis. Were it not for that picture postcard of the gentleman on top of the elephant, unfortunately, he may never have returned to his Jewish roots. Continues the Mishnah. Shtayim be'ilon v'achas b'dei adam, oy shtayim b'dei adam v'achas be'ilon, k'sheira v'ein oylon lo b'yontev. As Rashi explains, and we have a picture of this on page 49 of the Sefer that we're using, Hamor Hamavur, and it's number 147, where we have a sukkah that is on two sides. It's held up by the tree, and on one side there's a board going from the floor, from the ground all the way up and continuing, and the third wall is man-made. It's b'dei adam. But the other two are being, as Rashi says, the karka, the floor of the sukkah, is being supported by two branches of the tree. So one wall of the sukkah is supported by a long wall that is starting from the ground, and the other two walls of the sukkah are being supported by the two branches of the tree. Or picture 148 on page 50, here we have where shtayim b'dei adam, where there are two walls that start from the ground that are man-made, and the third wall is being supported by a branch of the tree. So is this sukkah kosher or not? Says the Mishnah, yes, it is k'shera, but v'ein oylu wa b'yantiv. One cannot go on it on yantiv. However, sholosh b'dei adam, if you have three walls that are man-made, va'achas be'ilon, and one is being supported by the tree, and others you have four walls altogether, da'aloch is k'sher, v'oylun lo b'yantiv, you could go up on yantiv. What's the chilek between the first case and the second case? Says the Mishnah, which continues on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, zeh haklal, this is the rule, kol she'yinata lo ilon v'yichol olam b'fnei atzma, if I take away the tree and the sukkah can still remain with the man-made structures alone, then it's kshera. So in the case where I have three walls, even if I take away the fourth wall, which is supported by the tree, the other three walls are man-made, and the sukkah will remain, then it's kosher. And v'oilin la b'yantiv, you can also go up on an onyantiv, because you're not using the tree. Because even if I take the tree away, the sukkah will still remain. So the sukkah is not dependent on the tree. It's not considered that I'm being mishtamish be'ilun, which, as we learned before, is asur mid rabbanan. However, if, for example, you would have two walls, and the third wall was supported by the tree, and now if I take away the tree, the sukkah would collapse. So Einech Hanami, while it's supported by the tree, it's kosher. However, one should not go in it in Yontif, because it's considered that it's being supported by the tree, and Mimela Ein considered to be Mishtamish with the tree on Yontif or Shabbos, which is prohibited. Based on this, the Meiri says, since the Mishnah says Zeha Klal, this is the Klal, so although the Mishnah made a Chilek, whether it's being supported by three walls are man-made, or only one or two walls are man-made, that if one or two walls are man-made, then one could not go up on the Sukkah on Yontif or Shabbos. But if it's three walls, then one could go up on Yontif and Shabbos, because it could stand by itself, even if I took the Ilan away. But since the Mishnah concludes Zeha Klal, so then, says the Mir, it's totally in Metzias. For example, if someone would make a structure out of two walls, and the rest supported by the Elon. And if you would take away the Elon, the tree, it would still, the sukkah was built so securely on those two man-made walls that it would remain. Then again, it's not considered being supported by the tree, and Mimela, you would be allowed to go up there on Yontif. The opposite, if you would have, let's say, three walls, which are man-made, and one wall supported by a tree, but yet if you would take away that one wall, the three walls are not so secure and the sukkah would collapse, then in fact the person would not be able to go there on Yontif because it is considered being supported by the tree. The Mishnah said the halacha based on what usually would happen. And usually if it's supported by three walls, it could stand on its 3 feet, and you could go there on Yontif, and if it's supported only by one or two walls, it'll collapse. But if the Metzius is different, everything is totally on the Klal, Kol Shiyanato La'ilu V'Yichol Lamoid, then it's Oilu L'Abi Yontif. And if it's not Yichol Lamoid without the tree, it's also to go up there on Yontif. Tosfos at the bottom of Daf Chavez Amid Beis, Divrei Maaseh Shtayim B'Ilon, brings a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, where there it is Mashma that, not like Rashi says, that the floor of the sukkah is on the branches, being supported by two or three or one branch of a tree, or it has two or three walls, as we were discussing, man-made, but rather we are speaking about that the schach is being supported by the tree, and people had a tendency to put things on top of the schach, and therefore it will be considered that the person is being mishtamesh with the schach, and our Gemara is discussing whether the schach can remain on the sukkah without the support of the tree. That is the pshat according to Tosfos, but Rashi and our sugya at the bottom of Chavez and Mabez, the Vermas Chol Shtayim B'Ilon, disagrees and says that it's the floor of the sukkah that is on the branches of the tree or on the man-made walls. Begins the Gemara. Mani Masnisen. Who is our Mishnah going like? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kivi. It's going like Rabbi Kivi. The Sani we learned in a Braisa. Ha'oisus ukasir b'raisha svina. And we had this Braisa before, as the Masoreh Shas points out, on Dav Zayin Amid Beis. If somebody makes a sukkah on the top of a boat, Rabbi Gamliel Paisel, Rabbi Gamliel Pasel's Rabbi Kima Machshir, and Rabbi Kiva says it's kosher. Rabbi Gamliel says that you need a sukkah's kva, you need a permanent structure, and therefore Rosh Hashvina is not considered a permanent structure. The winds can overturn the sukkah. However, Rabbi Kiva holds sukkah's arai is sufficient, and therefore a sukkah of Rosh Hashvina is kosher. Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Divrei Maaseh, the San Yois, Sukkos Rosh Hashvina, has a different girsa in our Gemara, and we had this girsa on Dav Zayin Amid Beis, where the machloek between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva is not only Yois, Sukkos Rosh Hashvina, which is the second case of our Mishnah on Chav Beis Amid Beis, but also in the Gei, the first case of our Mishnah, Yois, Sukkos Rosh Hagola, there is also this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva. So Tosfos says, "Shaper goros bebraisa b'roish agol, the pligi beinami b'roish agol, it can be rashdi le'il." Tosfos says that the machloikis is not only by svin, it's also by agola. Then he adds, Loi kimoi shapirish Rabbeinu Tam beperakame. On the Zion of Abbas, Rabbeinu Tam, and who adin Rabbeinu Chananel, as Tosis brings down there, says that we are goyris both in the brisa which is brought on Zion Amid Beis and in this brisa here on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, like as we began the Sanya, it's not a mission, it's a brisa. In both cases, Rabbeinu Tam has the gear says we have here in our Gemara that the machlokas is only by Rosh Hashrina, but by Rosh Hagola, even Rabbi Gamliel will be mode to Rabbi Akiva that there is no chesoron with having a mobile sukkah. The Rav Gamliel holds that that is not a chesoron in having a kvias. He would be moited that that's acceptable, and there is no machlokes between Rav Akiva and Rav Gamliel. The whole machlokes according to Rabbeinu Tam is only in our case of Rosh Hasvina. From Rashi in the Mishnah, it would be mashmas in Rashi Divrei Maskil Kshera. He says the Diris Arai Sagibo. It's Mashra from Rashi that Diris Arai is sufficient both by Sukkah Baroish Agola and by Sukkah Baroish Hasvina. It seems that Rashi considers that that's the common denominator in both cases. And Memela, if Rabban Gamliel holds that it's possible by Rosh Hasvina, it would seem that Rashi holds that Hu Adin Rabban Gamliel would hold that you need Diris Kva. And therefore, Rosh Agola would also be possible because it's not a Deer's Cross since it's mobile. So, in the bottom line is that we have a Machlokas or Rishonim here, whether the Machlokas is only by Rosh Hasvina or it's also by Rosh Hagola. The Gemara now tells us a story. Ma'aseh Rav Gamliel Rav Akiva, there's a story about Rav Gamliel Rav Akiva, who were the ones who argued about Sukkah Rosh Hasvina. Shayubon Besvina, they in fact were coming in a boat. Amid Rav Akiva, Vasa Sukkah Rosh Hasvina. Rav Akiva made a Sukkah at the top of the boat. They were traveling during Sukkahs, and Rav Akiva made a Sukkah on top of the boat. Lamacher, the next day, Nishbaruch, the wind blew. Valkarta, and it uprooted, it blew away the sukkah. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, heichen sukkah, where's your sukkah? Oh, it was blown away. Well, Rabbi Gamliel wasn't trying to make Rabbi Akiva feel bad, but he was trying to point out to him. You see what can happen on the ocean with the stormy weather and the winds on the ocean, that a sukkah, a flimsy sukkah, could be blown away. And therefore, as a sukkah, Baruch Hashvina, according to Rabbi Gamliel Shita, that you need a Diris Kva, is not considered kosher Baroish Hasvina. And now the Gemara will explain to us where exactly the Machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva concerning Sukkah Baroish Hasvina takes place. Amar Abaya, the Kuli Alma, everyone holds Hecha the Ein Yechol Lamed Baruch Metsuya the Abasha like Lumi. If you have such a sukkah on top of a sfin of a boat, and if that sukkah were to have been made on the dry land, it would not stand up in a Ruach Metsuya, which means in a regular wind, not a stormy wind, but regular winds, then Avada, even Rabbi Kiva agrees that that sukkah is possible. As Rashi points out in Divri Amas L'Shenem Metsuya Diabasha, excuse me, in the Rashi Loi Klumi, says the first Rashi of our Gemara, Da Fila Diris Aroi Loi Havya. That's not even considered a Diris Aroi. That's nothing. If it cannot remain erect in the Abosha, in a Ruach Metsuya. And also, continues the Gemara, Yechoylo Lamed B'Sheinu Metsuya the Abosha, if it could stand up and withstand a stormy wind on the Abosha, Kuli Amalei Pligi D'Ksheira, everybody would hold in such case it's kosher. As Rashi points out, Divrei Amaskel Yechol Olamai, Dahainu Ruach Metsuya Diyam, that we always know that on the sea, it's worse than on dry land. So if you have a Eina Metsuya, you have a stormy wind on the dry land, that is what a Ruach Metsuya is on the Yam. The Yam's always worse. Well, what's abnormal on the Abosha is considered normal on the Yam. So if it could withstand a Ruach Sheinu Metsuya on the dry land, that means it could withstand a Ruach Metsuya, a regular wind on the ocean, and Mimela, it is kosher according to everyone. Tosfos points out that even according to Rav Gamliel, if we go with the shita that he holds, that on top of a mobile wagon, it is possible. It's considered not being a kfiyas thika structure. If so, why does the Gemara say here that everyone holds kuliyam, including Rav Gamliel, that it is kshera if it's yichol olamid v'she'ena mitzuyah diabasha? Good, it's not considered flimsy that the winds will be oikarit. But after all, it's mobile, it's on a boat. So Tosfos says that is not a problem. The mobility of a sukkah on a boat is not a problem, even according to Rav Gamliel. It's only a problem on a wagon, because it's not the derech to build a structure on a wagon, to have a dira on a wagon. However, on a boat, it says Tosfos, it is the derech to make structures where one can dwell in during the trip, and therefore that is considered not a problem with having a diras aray. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Kuli amelai pligi dikshera ki pligi." Where is the machlekes between Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Kiva? But yichol lamed beruach mitzuya diabasha ve'ena yichol lamed beruach. Now we're going to learn the gears of the Masoris Hashas Beis. Beruach mitsuya diyam. We take out the word she'ena, we take out the word diabash, and we change it diyam. It is, when is the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, where the sukkah can stand up in a ruach mitsuya diabash, but it cannot stand up in a ruach mitsuya diyam. The one of the yam is always stronger than on the dry land. So on dry land, Ruach Mitzuya could stand up, but in the ocean's Ruach Mitzuya, it could not stand up. What is the machlokes? Rabbi Gamliel sovereign sukkah diras kvabin. Rabbi Gamliel holds that you need a sukkah, has to be a permanent structure. The kivin de'ena yuchol lamed Ruach Mitzuya diyam. And since this structure cannot stand up in a Ruach Mitzuya of the ocean, like Lumi, it's nothing, it's apostle sukkah. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Rabbi Kiva argues, and he holds sukkah diras arabin, and all you need is a temporary dwelling as far as the sukkah is concerned. The kivin, the yichol lamed beruach mitzuyah diabashah k'sherah, since the sukkah could stand up in a ruach mitzuyah of the abashah, it is kosher. The Sfas Emes asks, l'chayru, what's the svar of Rabbi Kiva? Because true, when you're in the Yabosha, and it could stand up in a Ruach Mitzuy of Yabosha, we can understand why that sukkah is kosher. But if you're on the Yam, you're in a Svina on the Yam, and there it cannot stand up in a Ruach Mitzuy, why should Rabbi Kiva consider it kosher? On this, the Brisker Rav, Rav Elvel Brisker, answers, based on a Rambam, in Hilchas Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey. The Rambam says that a mechitza she'ena oimed beruach mitzuya shal yabasha ain't a mechitza. The Brisker Rav understands the Rambam to mean that just like we have shiurim in a mechitza of how tall it has to be, for example, 10 tefachim high, less than 10 tefachim is not considered a mechitza, so too the Rambam is telling us that there are shiurim, there are measurements in the strength of a mechitza. What is defined as a mechitza? Only such a mechitza that could withstand the winds that come by Ruach Mitzuya on the Abash. If it cannot, then it's not a mechitza. And therefore, the Achorinim point out that even in a house, if a person puts up a mechitza, and there is no wind blowing into the house, no Ruach Mitzuya, but I know that if I would have this mechitza on dry land, a Ruach Mitzuya would knock it down, then legabe various halachas, that mechitza in your house is not considered a mechitza. Even though while it's in your house, it's not going to fall down. But since this is the definition of what the shear of a mechitza is, that it has to have the strength to be able to withstand a ruach mitzuyah v'yabasha, and you don't have it, even in your house, this will not be considered a mechitza for any halacha. So therefore, now we can understand, based on this Rambam, what the svar of Rabbi Kiva is. Rabbi Kiva is saying, let's say his words, v'kiv in the yichol lamed beruach mitzuyah diabasha k'sheira. Since all you need is diras arai, and on and the strength that the shear of the strength that you need for a mechitza is Yicholam Ruch Mitzvah Basha. So even if I'm on the yam, but if I have a mechitza which has the capacity to withstand a ruach metzuyah by a basha, it means I have a mechitza. And if I have a mechitza, I have a kosher sukkah, and I don't need diras kvar. So may I have a kosher sukkah. Mashi Yanki Rabbi Gamliel says that it's not enough just that you have a mechitza, which has the strength of metzuyah by a basha, but in fact I need diras kvar. And this is not, if it cannot remain b'yam, with a ruach mitzvah b'yam, that's not considered a sukkah skva, and that's what you need according to Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore, it's possible because there's no diras kva. However, Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't need the criteria of diras kva, diras aro is enough. So he concludes by saying, kiven the yichol lav ruach mitzvah b'yabasha. So I have the shear of a mechitza as far as the strength of it is concerned, and therefore the halacha is Kishayra. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara has explained the next phrase of our Mishnah. If you have a sukkah on top of a gomel, the halacha is that it is Kishayra, but ain oilin la biyantiv. Masnisa mani. Who's our Mishnah going? Like Rab Meir. It's going according to Rab Meir. The Sanya, we learned in a brisa. If somebody makes a sukkah on top of an animal, as Rashi explains, he in Divrei HaMasel al Gabi Behema, he took two doors together, and he put those doors as a floor on top of two horses, and that becomes the floor of the sukkah. And above that, he made mechitzas and schach. Rav Meir Machsher. Rav Meir holds that's kosher for a sukkah. Rav Yehuda Poysel. Rav Yehuda says it's possible. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda who says that this is not kosher for a sukkah? And our Mishnah, of course, is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir. What's the swore of Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Korda Pasuk says, Chag has sukkahs tasl chashivas yam. You should make the holiday of sukkahs for you for 7 days. So we learn that this is a shear in a sukkah. A sukkah is only kosher if it can last for, if you can use it for 7 days. But if you can't use it for all 7 days, because there is a halacha that is not allowing you to use it for 7 days. And what is the halacha in our case? The gzeiros chachamim, that one is not allowed to be mishtamish with an animal on Shabbos or Yontif because maybe he will come to rip off a piece of a tree and use it as a whip, and therefore he cannot ride an animal or be mishtamish with it in any way. So we learn out from this pasuk, sukkah ruya l'shiva shma sukkah. If I can use the sukkah for all 7 days, it is considered a sukkah. Sukkah shayna ruya l'shiva l'shma sukkah. But a sukkah that I cannot use for all 7 days is not considered a sukkah. And here I can't use it because of the gzeir d'rabban. The Ritva says, even though the gzeir is only mid-rabbanon, but once there is a gzeir midrabbanan, then it's not even good midaraisa, because the deraisa requirement is that this should be a sukkah that you can use. It doesn't matter if it's the rabbanan who placed an injunction against using the sukkah, or it's deraisa that placed an injunction. The fact is, you can't use it. If so, it becomes possible midaraisa. The Gemara, in fact, asks on Rav Meir, Hanami Midarais, what does Rav Meir do with this? So Rav Meir answers, Hanami Midarais, Mechzechazi. He doesn't go for that svar. He says, this, in fact, Midarais, I want to be Yotze. The mitzvah of Sukkah Daraisa, Midarais, Mechzechazi. Midarais, it is considered a valid Sukkah. The Rabbanan who the Gazer brought, it's only the Rabbanan who placed an Isser on using a Sukkah on top of an animal or on top of a tree. So since it's long with Rabbanan, I would be Yotze the mitzvah deraisa of sukkah. The Shar HaMelech, in fact, asks on the Svar of Rav Meir, because we find further in a Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that a Isser Rabbanan would make something not acceptable for a Din Torah. And we find this, we find many examples of this, but one is Nageya, an Esrig of Truma, which became Tameh. It is possible to be used as, for the mitzvah, the rice of Esri, because it's not royal achila anymore. One cannot eat it. And he says, points out to Shar HaMelech, although the truma of Esri is only midrabbanim, because it's not dog and tirsh v'yitzar, and therefore this fruit, the truma of a, this fruit of an Esri is only midrabbanim. So the whole truma temeya that this Esri has is only, which doesn't allow it to be eaten, is only a din d'rabbanan, and yet you cannot be yotze din d'oraisa. So why does Rav Meir say over here that since it's only mid'rabbanan, this sukkah will be kosher mid'oraisa? On this, the Shara Melech answers that if there's a psul mid'rabbanan which models itself after a Issur d'oraisa, then we would say that an Issur d'rabbanan makes it inadequate for a mitzvah d'oraisa. So by Tumah, Einichanami, it's only mid'rabbanan, but Trumah Tmeya mid'rabbanan is modeled after Trumah Tmeya, which is a Trumah d'oraisa. So therefore, Trumah Tmeya d'rabbanan on an Esrig makes it not Roy L'chila, you cannot use it for the mitzvah of Esrig. Whereas this gzeira here, that one is not allowed to mishtamish with an animal, ride an animal, or climb a tree, we don't find any precedent, any model in the deraisa of such an iser. So such an iser, the rabbanan, Rav Meir holds, will not pasul it midaraisa where you need sukkah l'shiva. Rav Meir agrees with Rav Yehuda that you need sukkah l'shiva, but he considers that since midaraisa this is royal l'shiva, and the issur de rabbanan is not, as the Shara Melech explains, is not modeled after any issur de raisa, so such an issur de rabbanan does not make it ineligible to be yotze the mitzvah de araisa. Continues the Gemara, also lebehema doifel l'sukkah. What happens if someone made an animal that it should be a wall for a sukkah? Is that a kosher wall for a sukkah or not? Rav Meir poisel. Rav Meir says that it is possible. Rav Yehuda, Mashon Rav Yehuda, says it is kosher for a wall of a sukkah. What is the svar of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara explains. Shehoyah Rav Meir Oimer. Rav Meir said that this din, that an animal is not good for a sukkah, is not only halacha by sukkah, but is halacha for many dinim in the Torah, called davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim. Anything that has life in it, any living animal, ain ois noisoi. You cannot use it, loy daifin l'sukkah, not a daifin for a sukkah, loy daifin l'sukkah, not a daifin for a sukkah, v'loy lechi l'mavui. And you cannot use it as a lechi to permit a mavi to carry in a mavi. We know the Rabbanim prohibited a mavi that is open to Rishus Rabbim, that one would get confused with a Rishus Rabbim, and therefore you can only carry in the mavi if it has a korah on top of it or a lechi on the side of the entrance into the mavi. But an animal cannot be used for a lechi. The like possibly be rois, as Rashi brings down here the Gemara Masechta's Erevin, that in order for the Ole Regal who came up to Yerushalayim to the base of Migdash to be able to take from the pits, the Be'eros, the wells of water that were in Rosh Hashanah, and the pit is 10 Tvachim deep, so that makes it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So in order to enable them to carry the water into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Rabbanan permitted it through what's called Pasi Birois. These are boards which form the Yumdin. These are two boards on each of the four corners surrounding the well. There was put the Yumdin, each one was at a right angle, so you had on each of the four corners you had two boards at right angles from each other, and each board was an amo, and that sufficed. That was considered mechitzas around the well for one to take from the well water to drink, even though he was carrying from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Can one use an animal as the pasi barois? The answer, according to Rav Meir, is no. V'loy goyel lekever. Also, Rashi Shita here is that goyel lekever means kisui la'aroinei shomeis, a covering of a casket. Usually this covering is metame b'magav masav oil, by touching or by carrying it, or if there's a tent, if it serves as a tent. However, an animal when it's used as a kisui for the oren of a mace, is not metame not b'magen, not b'masa, not b'oil. Toysus in Ksuvus Davdal in the base tells us that the goyel is a matzev, it's a tombstone that normally is also metame, but if it's a balchai at the tombstone, it is not metame. Mishum Rav Yosef Lili Yomer, they said in the name of Rav Yosef Lili, af en koysnul of gitei noshim, that a get can also not be written on top of, on the skin of a live animal. My time at Rav Meir. Why does Rav Meir hold that an animal cannot be used in all of these instances, and including our halacha here of using it as a doif and a wall for a sukkah? Abai, there's a machlokes, Abai and Rav Zeira. Abai, Yomar Shema Thomas. Abai says we're afraid that maybe it will die. And if it's a gzeira midrabbanon midrais, it is considered a good wall. But as Rashi points out, gzeira shema tamas, the animal might die on yontif, and there won't be any wall here because it'll fall down to the ground. And comes out that this person on yontif will be bottled from the mitzvah sukkah because he only had three walls to begin. Now he only has two walls, and the sukkah is no longer kosher. Therefore, the rabbanon did not allow him to use an animal for a sukkah because shema tamas. Rashi points out what the Gemara will ask later, that this is a svor to be machmir. But why do I say, based on Shema Thomas, that in the case of Goyla Lekever, where an animal would be metame as a cover for an oren, or as a tombstone according to Tosfos and Ksuvos, and here we're being makel and we're saying that an animal is not considered a regular goyel to be metame, why would we use the svar to be makel? L'chayru, the svar of Shema Thomas is only a svar to be machmer. This the Gemara will ask further in our sugya. Rab Zera says a different reason why an animal is not kosher for all of these various halachas, because Shema Tivrach Negea Ar Halacha of Doifin L'Sukkah, the animal may run away. And again, you will not have a third wall if you were using the animal as one of the walls of the Sukkah. And now the Gemara is going to explain exactly where the Machlokas is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Bepil Kosher, if I have an elephant that's tied up, Kuli Amaloi Pligi, everybody agrees that it is acceptable as a wall of a Sukkah. The Inami Mayas, even if it will die, what are you afraid of? It's going to fall to the ground. And what? You'll have less than 10 tefachim of a mechitza because it's lying on the ground, as you would have by, let's say, a regular animal. But by a pill, a huge elephant, that's many, many more times larger than the walls of the sukkah. Yesh b'nevlas ayud. So even when it falls down, it's so huge that even as in the vela, it's going to have 10 tefachim. And therefore it'll be kosher. So if I'm worried about Shema Thomas, it'll still be kosher. It's not going to be less than the height of 10 tefachim. And if I'm worried, as Rav Zeira says, Shema Tivrach, it's tied up. So by a pill kosher, there would never be any machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Everyone would hold its kosher. And there wouldn't be any nafkamina between Rav Zeira and, there would not be a nafkamina between Rav Zeira and Abaya in Rav Meir, because everybody would hold that it's kosher. Ki pligi bepil shena kosher. The machlokas between Rav Meir, between Abai and Rav Zeir, would make a difference if the pill was not tied up. Laman the Yomer Shema Tavis, according to the one who says that the chshash, why it's not kosher for a wall of a sukkah, is because maybe it'll die. Loi chashin, we're not worried, because again, even if it dies and it drops dead in its tracks right by the wall of the sukkah, then it'll still have sorat tefachim and it'll be kosher as a wall. L'mandi yomer gzeira shema tivrach. But according to the mandi yomer that says that we cannot use that as a wall midrabbanan, because maybe the animal will run away. So the pill that's not tied up, it may run away. Chashinin. Then we're worried. L'mandi yomer gzeira shema tivrach. Chashinin. Then we are choish that this will be a nafkamina, whether you hold like a Abaye or Rav Zeira, will be by a pill she'ein ay kosher, an elephant that's not kosher. If the worry is al Shema Thomas, there's no problem, and if the worry is about Shema Tivrach, there is a problem. The Gemara asks a kasha, l'man diyomer gzeira Shema Thomas, according to the man diyomer who says that, according to Abaye, that says the reason is because maybe it will die neich Shema Tivrach. Why doesn't he worry about the fact that the elephant may run away, which is more frequent? If he worries about Shema Thomas, it might die, he should certainly worry about Reb Zeir's Shasha Shema Tivrach. So therefore, this cannot be the nafka mina between Abai and Rav Zeira. Ela bepil she'ena kosher kol yama lo pligi. By a pill that's not tied up, everyone agrees that the wall could not be, the elephant could not be used for a wall, because even Abai will agree to Rav Zeira that there is a shash of Shema Tivrach, and therefore it's not kosher mid Rabbanan to be used as a wall of a sukkah. Ki pligi, where will there be a machlokes between Abai and Rav Zeira? Bibehema kshura. By an animal that's tied up. According to Mandi Yomer, who says maybe we have to worry it'll die, then we are choyish. That maybe it'll die, and it will fall down, and you'll have less than 10 tfachim. It's not a pill, it's not a large animal like an elephant. It's a small animal. So standing up, you'll have a sar tfachim, but if it dies, you won't have a sar tfachim, and then you won't have a circuit. Therefore, the Rabbanan didn't allow you to use this as a wall. Lamandi Yomer, Gzeir Shema Tivrach. According to the Mandi Yomer, said maybe it'll run away, but here we're speaking about that it's tied up, so we don't have to worry it'll run away. Loi chai shina, we are not afraid. And then in that case, it would be kosher as a wall of a sukkah. Or as the kasher, Lamandi Yomer, Gzeir Shema Tivrach, according to the Mandi Yomer, Rav Zeira, who says that the chashash is maybe it'll run away, Necha Shema Thomas. Why isn't he worried about Shema Thomas? And therefore, in this case, by behemoth shura, a tied up animal, why isn't he worried like Abai is worried that maybe it'll die? The Gemara answers, Misa loishchicha, because he says, running away when it's untied is shchiach, but Misa to suspect that just on sukkahs it'll die, that's not prevalent, that's not usual, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. So he's only chayish for Shema Tivrach, and if it's tied up, he's not worried about Shema Tivrach. The Gemara asks the kasha, Vo'ika Ravcha de Beini Beini, how could the animal, even if it's tied up, be kosher for a wall, but there is space between the legs, and it remains a sukkah tluya, and we have learned that a sukkah tluya is possible, it's a hanging sukkah. There's no lavud, it's more than three tefachim from the ground, and therefore it'll be a hanging sukkah, so how could an animal ever be kosher for a wall of a sukkah? The Gemara answers, the avid lebehutza vidafna, that he filled in the space between the legs with palm leaves and with bay leaves, as we see the picture on page 50, number 149. That the bottom of the animal is filled in with leaves. The Gemara asks a question, Vidilma Rava. Maybe the animal will crouch down, as Rashi says, Roivetzes. Why aren't we worried that the animal will crouch down? And therefore you won't have your Asura Tvachim either by a regular animal. And this is more Shchiach than running away or dying. It'll crouch down. And everybody should be chayshish for this, both Abai and Rav Zeira. The Gemara answers, it's speaking about the mesicha ba'ashle mele'el, that he held it up with ropes from on top, as we see the picture. Number 150 on page 50, that there are ropes from the top of the sukkah. At the bottom of the animal, we still have those leaves, which are filling in the mechitza there. Why aren't we worried that it will crouch down? Because it's being held up by ropes from the top of the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Lamandi Yomer, Gzeir Shema Thomas, according to Mandi Yomer, according to Abai, who says that the chashash is maybe it'll die, Nami ha mesicha Ba'ashmalil, why are you afraid that it's going to die? And you won't have a mechitz of asar tvachim. If you're saying that you're not worried about crouching because it's held up with ropes, so I could say that we'll hold it up with ropes, and even if it dies, it'll still be held up by those ropes. So why should there, if that's what our case is speaking about, then we shouldn't have a chashash of mis either, because it'll be held up the ropes. And for the Gemara, Zimnin demukim b'pachas mishloisha samach l'schach, as we see in that picture 150, it'll be held, the animal itself is, as Rashi explains, seven tvachim and a mashihu from the ground, the top of the animal. It's within three tvachim from the top of the sukkah. So then I have a total of 10 tvachim. How do I have a total of 10 tvachim? How is the top 3 tvachim, or a little under 3 tvachim, filled in? Because we have the rule of Lovat. And therefore it's considered like you have a mechitza. From the bottom you have the leaves. Then you have the goof of the animal up to 7 and a mashu. And then the rest is filled in through Lovat, which is less than 3 tvachim from the top of the sukkah. So I have my 10 tvachim. The mukim bepachas mishloisha samach leschach, as we turn to daf chaf gimel on the base, but vekiven the maisa, but once it dies, kavtza, it shrinks up, it velavadaita, it could be that the animal is 7 and a mashahu, and it's a 3 less a mashahu from the top of the sukkah, and but when it dies, the animal has a tendency to shrink, and it might just shrink one mashu, and velavadaita, so really he could pull it up, mashu, and he would again have lavud after it died, but velavadaita, he's not going to notice that it slipped, it shriveled up one mashu, that it shrank one mashu, and then nela what? It'll be a pasul sukkah. So to worry about it, Roy Vet says, I hold it up with string. But when it dies, even with it being held up, it has a tendency to shrink. And the male, it might shrink a mashu. He won't be aware of it to make any tikkunim. And he'll be there on sukkahs with only 2 kosher walls. That's why we do not allow him to use an animal as a mechitza, because maybe it'll die and the ropes holding it up won't help. So it comes out from our entire sugya that Abayim explained the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that Rav Meir was chayish for Misa, and therefore also lebehema doifim l'sukkah, Rav Meir pasels, and Rav Yehuda's machshir comes out that he'll hold, we're not chayish for Misa, and therefore an animal for a doifim of a sukkah is kosher. On this, the Gemara is going to ask a stira from Abaya. Here we learned that Abaye said in Rab Meir that we're chayish for Misa, and in Rab Yehuda is not chayish for Misa. And Abaye himself said the very opposite, Nageya, another halacha, that it was Rab Meir who's not chayish for Misa, and Rab Yehuda who is chayish for Misa. Umi Amar Abaye, did then Abaye say, Rab Meir chayish for Misa, Rab Yehuda loy chayish, that Rab Meir is chayish for Misa, and Rab Yehuda is not chayish. But now we learned in a Mishnah, in Mesech the Gittin, Bas Yisrael Shanasal Koyin, if a Bas Yisrael is married to a Koyin, so the halacha is, while she's married to the Koyin, she's allowed to eat truma. If her husband, the Koyin, dies, she's only allowed to eat truma if she has children. If she does not have children from the Koyin, then she reverts back to the halacha that a Yisrael is also to eat truma. So what happens if a Bas Yisrael was married to a Kohen and didn't have children? V'holach ba'alam dinas hayam. And her husband went away to a far-off land, and she has no communications with her husband. She doesn't know if he's still alive or not. Is she allowed to eat truma? The Mishnah says, oichelis b'truma, she can eat truma b'cheska shukayim, with the chazaka that he's still alive. So we see that this Mishnah holds that you're not chayish for Misa. For a minin Allah, and we asked on that astira from another halacha, hareiz a gitach. If someone gives a get, a kohen gives a get to his wife, shroach has kohen misasi, and he gives a get on a condition, on a tonight, that this get should go into effect one moment before I die. And as Rashi explains, why is he making this get on a tonight? Because he's afraid that he will die, and his wife will have to get chalitza, because he doesn't have children from his wife, and she will fall a yibum, and she'll have to get chalitza, and she may not be able to get chalitza. And in order to avert these problems, he makes a get chal a second before he dies. Now the question is, she's a bas Yisrael who's married to a kohen, and she doesn't have children, is she allowed to eat truma? Asur lechel b'truma miyad, immediately after her husband leaves, and she doesn't know anymore is he alive or not. She has to be worried maybe he's going to die, and once he dies, then the get is chal a moment before he dies, and therefore the minute she loses sight and she doesn't know if he's still alive or not, she may be divorced. And if she's divorced from her husband, the kohen, without children, she is not allowed to eat truma, so she's ushered to eat truma right away. So it comes out according to this second halacha, harei zeh gitach, that we are chayish lamisa, it's a stira, V'amar Abaye, and Abaye answered this theory and said, Loikasha. That's not a kasha. It's two different shitas. Ha Rab Meir Deloy Chayish Lamisa. The Mishnah that says, the first Mishnah in Gittin that says, Bas Yisroel Shnos Lekoin, that she can, Eichelis Betrim Bechesk Shukaim, is going according to Rab Meir, who's not Chayish Lamisa, and Ha Rab Yudah the Chayish Lamisa. And the second Aloch of Arezi Gigtech, Shorach Shkar Besasi, is going according to Rab Yudah, who is Chayish Lamisa. And on what did Abaye rely? What was he soimach on to say that Rav Meir's sheet is we're not chayish lemisa, and Rav Yudah's sheet is that we are chayish lemisa? He was soimach on a brisa concerning trumas and maisris, as we're soon going to learn that from that brisa we see that Rav Meir's sheet is you're not chayish lemisa, and Rav Yudah's sheet is you are chayish lemisa, but the thrust of our Gemara is that this will come out to be a steer in Abaye. Abaye in our sugya learns in Rab Meir by the animal that cannot be used as a daifin because he's chayish lemisa. And Rab Yud is matar an animal to be used as a daifin for sugya. He's not chayish lemisa. And here Abaye is telling us to answer the stira in the Masech de Gittin, whether Abbas Yisrael can eat trum or not, whether we're chayish lemisa or not, that it is Rab Meir who holds you're not chayish lemisa, and Rab Yud who holds you are chayish lemisa. That's the stira that the Gemara has to answer, and we'll answer it Daf Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, which we will learn B'siyata Rishmai in a few moments. What is that brisa on which Abaye was soimach to say that Rav Meir is not Chayish Lemisa, Rav Yudah is Chayish Lemisa? The brisa says as follows: Halakeich Yami Ben Akusim. If somebody took wine from Kusim, and Rashi says this halacha was said, this brisa was said before the gzeira that we find in Masech Techulin on Davov. Koidim Shagazra Aleim. The Chacham found that the Kusim were Oiv the Avodah Zarah, and their Yain was Yain Nesach. But this is speaking about before they knew that about the Kusim, and their wine had not yet been Usur because of Yain Nesach. And therefore, one who buys wine from Kusim is allowed to drink that wine. He doesn't have a problem of Yain Nesach. However, what he has a problem with is Trumas and Maisris, as Rashi explains. That by a regular Amoritz, if one buys from Amoritz, Truma one does not have to take off because an Amoritz is not Nechsha, that he would not be Mafresh Truma. Maestris, however, is a Suffolk, and therefore that's called Dmai, and Mi Suffolk, one should be Mafresh Maestros from anything bought from a Amoritz. A Kusi is worse, even before they found out that the Kusim were the Avodah Zarah, they were worse. They had a worse halachic status than the Gea Trumas and Maisras. A, that even Truma had to be Mufresh from a Yayin or Tfuah that was bought from a Kusi. And also, it wasn't a Suffolk, but it had a Din Vadai that they were not Mufresh Trumas and Maisras. So now Rashi explains in Divrei Maskil Oimer Shnei Lugin that it's speaking here Erev Shabbos. The person is not able to get any kalim tahirim, and he wants to drink. He's thirsty, he wants to drink, and he has to give trumas and maisers because he's buying it from a kussi. What should he do? Halakayeh yai mei kussim Oimer. So he has the eitzah to say the following according to Rav Meir. Shnei Lugin Shani Asad Lahafrish Harehin Truma. He can give trumas and maisers, and he can leave the Trumas and Maisris in the container that he has. He can drink the rest of it, and this will work. And he doesn't have to worry. Our sugi here is Shema Yibaka Noid. He doesn't have to worry that maybe the flask which holds this unmeisered wine will break, and the Trumas and Maisris will run out, and it comes out that he a tevel, or drank tevel, that he doesn't have to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about losing the trumas and maisras. And also, this halacha Rav Meir is based on the principle of yesh breira, which means that a chalos, something that you want to accomplish, which you will only find out the results of what you are trying to accomplish later, we say that retroactively, that has a halachic significance as if it happened right now. So here, he's going to be mafresh, as we're soon going to see, trumas and maisras, but he's going to say, I don't know what are the trumas and maisras. Maybe what I'm drinking right now is the trumas or maisras, which a Yisrael is not allowed to eat or drink truma. But through Breira, I will say that you know where the trumas or maisras are. those are going to be the ounces that are going to remain at the end of having drunk from this flask, whatever remains, that's going to be the Truma Maaser. That retroactively came out that was the Truma Maaser that I'm making right now. And that works through the principle of Breira. Shnei Lugin Shani Os LaHafrish, what I'm going to be Mafrish, what I'm going to leave over in the future, two Lugin out of the 100, in order to make the case simple, we're going to say there were 100 Lugin. And Truma, one gives, an average person gives 1 out of 50, and there's 100 here, so I have to give 2 Lugin. So those 2 Lugin are going to be Harein Truma. Now I have left 98 Lugin of wine. I have to give my Sarishin and my Sheni. Asara, my Sarishin. I'm going to give 10. Meiser is a 10, so my Sarishin that goes to the Levi is going to be 10 Lugin. Toysis and Divya Maschel, Asara, my Sarishin points out that Lav Dafka, exactly 10, because really, if I have 98 left after I gave the 2 Lugin of Truma, so my Meiser is going to be 9.8. But we round it off to 10. So Asara, my Sarishin. And now I've given 10 for my Sarishin plus 2 plus, or I've given actually 9.8 for my Sarishin plus 2 for Trim is 11.8. That leaves less than 90 left. The Rameir says, Tisha Maaser Sheni, 9 are going to be Maaser Sheni. Again, it's Lav Dafka 9, because again, you have to give a tenth of what's left for Maaser Sheni. And you don't have 90, you have less than 90, so it's going to be less than 9, but it rounds it off to 9. 9 are going to be Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni, you're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim. Or you are Mechalit, you're poded on money, and the money you're going to spend in Yerushalayim. So he could do that right away. Umechal, he's Mechalit on money that he has in his house. And he says the 9 Lugin of Maaser Sheni are going to become plain chulin, and the kedusha is going to be transferred to the money, the coins that I have in my house, and those coins I'm going to spend in Yerushalayim. And then, having done all this, v'shoy simiyad, he could drink right away. How? Through the concept of Breira, that whatever is going to be left in the future, that's going to be the trimas and the maasers. Divri Rav Meir, that's a sheet of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, these three Tanoim, they say it's Osir. So the Gemara understood now, what's the machlokes between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon? Whether we're worried, Shema Yibaka Anoit. Everybody holds a Breira, but Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon say it's Osir because Gzeira, maybe the Noit will break. Maybe the flask in which the wine is here is going to break. And if so, it came out, you never gave Trumas a Meiser. And if so, it comes out that what you drank is Tevel. Therefore, you're not allowed to do this Eitzah, which Rav Meir proposes, because it could come out that the person is going to be drinking Tevel. If we're worried, Shema Yibaka Noid, maybe the flask will break and all the wine in it will spill out, the Trumas a Meiser will spill out. So if Rashi says, if Rav Yehuda is worried, Shema Yibaka Noid, where one could argue, as the Gemara will say in a few minutes, that you could put a shomer there to make sure, security to make sure that it won't break, that the noid won't break. And yet we're worried Shema Yibaka Noid. So certainly we have to worry about Shema Thomas. Maybe the person's time comes and he will be nifter. Even though Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon are not speaking about a case of Misa, but Rabbi Yehuda, who's worried Shema Yibaka Noid, Rashi said, is certainly worried Shema Yamas. And Rabbi Meir, who's not worried about Shema Yibaka Noid, he, the Gemara is assuming, will also hold that we're not worried Shema Yamas. So this is the brisa on which Abaye predicates his remarks, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's Chai Shlemisa, and Rabbi Meir is the one who's not Chai Shlemisa. So Bas Yisrael Shanisa's the Koyin. She's allowed to eat Truma Becheskes that her husband is alive. We're not Chai Shemisa, is going like Rav Meir in the Inyan of Halakeich Yaim, Ben Akutim. And the second Aloch of Areze Gitoch, that Shorach Eskonim Sasi Asur Lechel B'Truma Miyad, that's going according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who's worried Shem Yibak Anoid, and he's certainly worried Shem Chai Shlemisa. So Gemara has now ended on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, it's Stira in Abaya. Here Abaya told us to answer the Stira Masechta Gittin that it is Rav Meir who's not Chai Shlomitza, and it's Rav Yehuda who's Chai Shlomitza. And on our Gemara, on Daf, Chaf Gimel, Amid Aleph, concerning making a animal for a doifen for a sukkah, Abaya says just the opposite. Rav Meir passes because he is worried for misa of the animal, and Rav Yehuda is mashir because he's not worried. It's a steer in Abaya. How he's explaining Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. The more answers, epoch, that the answer that Abaya gave to be miyashev the stira in the Mesach the Gittin of a Bas Yisrael married to a kohen, whether she has to worry that her husband died or not, whether she can continue eating truma or not, is not based on the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda concerning Shema Yibaka Anoid, but rather it's the opposite. You know what Abaya answered over there? That the stira in Masechta Gittin concerning a Bas Yisrael Shenisa L'Kohen is answered based on our sugya in Masechta Sukkah. Rav Meir is Chai Shlomisa. So the second halacha of Arez Agitach that she cannot eat truma is going according to Rav Meir is Chai Shlomisa. And the first Mishnah where it says that the woman can keep on eating the cheskas that her husband's still alive, you're not Chai Shlomisa. That's going according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda loy Chai Shlomisa. And how do I know that that's the sheet of Rav Meir that he's Chai Shlomisa and Rav Yehuda is not Chai Shlomisa? That's based on our Bryce on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph and Masech Tosuka. The Sanya also the Behem a Doifel Suka. He took a Behem and he used it as a wall for a Suka. Rav Meir Poisel Rav Yehuda Machsher because Rav Meir Poisels because he's Chai Shlomisa and Rav Yehuda Machsher because he's not Chai Shlomisa. And Mimela, that's how Abaya answers the stira in Masech Tegitin concerning a Bas Yisrael eating truma when her husband has left and she doesn't know if he's alive or not. Rav Meir will be Chai Shlomisa, she cannot eat. Rav Yehuda will not be Chai Shlomisa, she could eat. So we have answered the stira in Abaya. Abaya now is consistent. He always learns that Rav Meir is Chai Shlomisa and Rav Yehuda is not Chai Shlomisa. But now we have another problem. Kasha the Rav Meir or the Rav Meir. You have answered the stira in Abaya, but you've created another stira. Because we have Rav Meir of Masechta Sukkah, and Abaya says Masechta Gittin, who's always Chai Shlomisa, and over here, by Shema Yibaka Hanoid, Rav Meir is not worried Shema Yibaka Hanoid. So we have a stira in Rav Meir. Amr Loch Rav Meir, Misa Shchicha, Bekiyas Hanoid, Loi Shchicha. What you wanted to Sushtel, you wanted to make a comparison between Rav Meir's Chai Shlomisa by the Behema or by the husband of a Bas Kohen. That's Misa. That's Shchicha. But Bekiyas Hanoid, that's not so prevalent. That Rav Meir wasn't worried about. Why, as we said before, Efshir the Masalei L'Shomer. Maybe he gave it over to a Shomer to watch, and then we're not worried that it's going to break the flask and that the person will be eating Tevel, and that's why he's able to be Mafresh, the Trumas and Maisres, and he could drink, and we're not worried that the, even though Rameir's Chai Shlomisa, he's not worried Shem Yibok HaNoit. But the Gemara says we have one more Kasha left, Kasha Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. There still is theory between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda, because according to Abai's explanation, Rav Yehuda is not Chai Shlomisa. And therefore, I can use a behema as a wall for a sukkah. And therefore, the woman could eat truma, even though she doesn't know if her husband's alive or not, because we're not Chai Shlomisa. But how do we explain Rav Yehuda over here? It would seem that Rav Yehuda is Chai Shlomisa, that Shema Yibaka Hanoid. And as Rashi said before, if he's worried about Shema Yibaka Hanoid, he's certainly worried that Chai Shlomisa, because Shema Yibaka Hanoid, we said you could always have a shomer. And yet he's Chai Shlomisa, that it might break, so certainly he's Chai Shlomisa. For Misa, if he's Chai Shlomisa, so why isn't he Chai Shlomisa? Buy an animal, how could he say it's kosher for a doifen? The Gemara answers, time of Rav Yehuda, lav mishum dechayish b'kiyas hanoid. You have the reason of Rav Yehuda wrong. It's not because Rav Yehuda is worried for b'kiyas hanoid. Rav Yehuda is masking to Rav Meir that the loichashin l'b'kiyas hanoid. That's not what we're worried about, but I have a different problem. Even if the noid won't break, even if we're not chayish l'misa, we're not chayish that anything might happen. Elamishum de les lebreira. He holds that he doesn't hold of the whole concept of breira. He says that you can't say retroactively whatever's left in. Even as Rashi says, even a fila ena nifkai usser. Even if the flask does not get broken, it's usser for this person to drink because maybe what he's drinking is truma. because you're going to say Breira retroactively, it was Chal Deshem Truma, whatever's left. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira. I mean, maybe he doesn't hold the Breira. It could be, we don't know what's Truma, what's not Truma. It could be what he's drinking. That itself is Truma. That's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it's Usher, and not because of Shem Yibok Anoit, because concerning that, he doesn't hold Shem Yibok Anoit, and he's likewise, he is not Chayish Lemisa.